Music and Talk Radio. Music and Talk Radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Haukamalum and Squamish-speaking peoples. And I am going to be your host for the next hour. I am Rebecca, and you may have heard my voice before on Intravenous. It's been a little bit of time, but I was kind of regularly here from about August through to January, and then I went back home. So it's nice to be back. We got a bit of an interesting episode today. It's going to be a compilation of different news stories and audios from Frequency News that works with the LGI program, which is the local journalism initiative. So Frequency is an audio news platform that has content produced by journalists based all over campus, community, and Indigenous radio stations around Canada, mainly to increase the reach of news that's they've put it online to make it accessible for all Canadians, and is broadcasting community journalism to undeserved communities. And the Local Journalism Initiative, you may have heard of it before. We have Danny and Jesse under this program here at the station, and they produce content for the LGI that is featuring on Speak Up, which is our public affairs spoken word show, on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursday mornings at 10 to 11. And yeah, it's a great program. We get lots of independent news that you don't usually probably hear on mainstream radio, which is the whole point of CJSF. And so we've got a nice mix of different audios, and then I'm going to speak a bit about each of them. I don't know if I'll get through all the ones that I have, because I have, I think, of five, and they're all about 5 to 6 minutes in length. So we'll see how we get on. They're all related to gender, sexuality, all the stuff that Intravenous focuses on, which is always nice. But to start us off this morning, I thought we would listen to a song that was recommended to me by my friend here at the station, Corey, DJ Coco from Slumber Party. And it's from the CJSF playlist. It is a song called Black Walnut by the artist Shebad, off of the album Music Is the Answer, and it's a bit of soul, funk, and R&B. So I hope you guys enjoy, and stay tuned, because we've got a lot of great topics to talk about.
For the upside, even when I'm sleeping tight, even when I close my eyes, even when I close my eyes, we're living and we're gonna talk. Don't turn away from the way that we're feeling, don't shy away, it's the way that we're healing. Every time I close my eyes, I open up and see the light. Don't turn away from the way that in the evening, every time I close my eyes, I open up.
welcome back. Once again, you are currently tuned into Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM from 10 to 11 this morning, and I'm going to be your host. My name is Rebecca, and that song you just heard was called Black Walnut by the artist Shebad off of their album Music is the Answer, and it was a bit of cancon, femcon, soul, funk, R&B music to start off our mornings today. So the first piece, or well, the first audio we are going to hear is from back on February 14th this year, by the local journalist Ryan Funk of CHEBFM in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And they did an interview with the Sexual Education Resource Center, which has supported reproductive and sexual health across Manitoba. And this was because it was their 90th anniversary, and they had a social for it on February 8th, where the co-executive director, Gillian Roy, reflected on how the organization has changed over the 90 years, and how in the early years it was the Birth Control Society that worked with suffragettes, helping women access birth control when it was illegal in Canada and globally as well. And how the Sexual Education Resource Center's services have also changed to be now extended to a comprehensive sexual health education, two-spirit LGBTQIA plus advocacy, prevention of sexually transmitted infections, and a lot of community-driven initiatives. And this is a really relevant piece, I think, especially now, because even though we are seeing a lot of progress that has been made since the times of the suffragettes, there has been, I think, an increase in pushback against sexual health education. We're seeing it in the SOGI resources in Canada, as well as gender-affirming care. I don't know how many people over here know about what's happening in the UK at the moment, but last week, or it was earlier this week, I think it was last week, though, the Supreme Court made a ruling in clarifying the definition of a woman in legislation across the UK. They have made it so in law, women means only biological women. And as a result of that, there has been a lot of marches by transgender activists outside the Houses of Parliament in London. So there's definitely a pushback at the moment, and what is mentioned in this audio is that the co-executive director says that there seems to be a pushback for abstinence-only education and a resistance to inclusive education, which will encompass the two-spirit LGBTQIA plus identities, reproductive rights, and ultimately a comprehensive sexual health education. And they will emphasize that the increasing access to sexual health services with fewer barriers will ultimately be better and lead for better outcomes for people, one in Manitoba, as this is where this is set, but also globally. So let's take a listen.
This community update was brought to you by U-Radio. For 90 years, the Sexual Education Resource Center, SERC, has supported reproductive and sexual health across Manitoba. The recent 90th anniversary social on February 8th was a time for co-executive director Gillian Roy to reflect on how the organization has changed over nearly a decade.
So one big change for us we saw was from being originally the Birth Control Society, and then later on, Planned Parenthood, Manitoba, and then now Sexuality Education Resource Center. Even the name changes themselves are significant for us. And we're really about how the conversations were changing in those moments before my time at the organization.
SERC is partnering with a professor at the University of Winnipeg to examine its origins in 1934. According to Roy, in those early years, the Birth Control Society worked with suffragettes, helping women to access birth control when it was illegal in Canada and much of the world. Roy notes that that early history included eugenics, and says CERC has made efforts to acknowledge that history and continue to develop its services and conversations around inclusion and accessibility.
And so we really work hard to change the conversations around access and inclusion, and even simple language changes from unplanned pregnancy. Things like that are changing for sure. And we can see in our history of CERC, when we started talking about, at the time, gay, lesbian, bisexual issues, to now two-spirit, trans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and other identities, even that change in language. The conversations have certainly changed. The issues have over time, and part of that's just a reflection of Canadian societies too, right? Like abortion becoming legal, birth control being able to be sold legally in the 60s, those things have influenced our work and messaging as well.
The scope of CERC extends to comprehensive sexual health education, 2S LGBTQIA plus advocacy, sexually transmitted infection, STI prevention, and community-driven initiatives. Despite decades of progress, there is pushback against sexual health education. Roy says some of that pushback is for abstinence-only education and resistance to inclusive curricula that discuss 2S LGBTQIA plus identities, reproductive rights, and comprehensive sexual health. Misinformation surrounding sexual health, often amplified through social media, creates barriers to informed decision-making, especially among young people.
So the conversations aren't new. The pushback's not new. Sometimes it is around the issue. And last year, or I guess a year and a half now, we worked really hard around that parental rights movement and the amount of misinformation that was out around that. And we have an office in Brandon, and there was a significant amount of pushback there, and people were calling for a book ban and what was allowed in schools, and that actually helped rally a lot of support for CERC and organizations like ours, and actually helped us to create better partnerships with people in the Westman region because we were all able to come together on that issue.
Manitoba is seeing a rising rate of sexually transmitted infections, particularly syphilis and chlamydia. These trends are preventable, says Roy, and that is why accessible, evidence-based education and services are a necessity. While government support for pre-exposure prophylaxis, PrEP access, and buffer zones around abortion clinics is a positive step, cuts to essential programs continue to raise concerns. CERC has faced funding cuts, including the loss of federal support for its Our Families Talk About Anything program starting April 1st. For Roy, sustained investment in sexual health resources ensures communities receive the support they need. She looks to the impact of CERC's Our Daughters program, which focuses specifically on female genital cutting, FGC.
And we are the one province in Canada that has an approach that is very community-driven. So nationally, the approach to FGC, very different than ours. Ours is around relationship building and creating change internally from the communities impacted by FGC. And our wait list is over 200 people wanting to access that program. And we do get support from the province to try and reduce that wait list. But, you know, when 50 people take that program, they're talking about it to their community, and that wait list then grows again because of the need.
Looking ahead, Roy says CERC remains committed to strengthening community relationships and expanding access to sexual health education. Roy emphasizes that increasing access to sexual health services with fewer barriers will lead to better outcomes for people in Manitoba. With You Multicultural and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ryan Funk.
So that was Ryan Funk from CHEB FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, speaking on the 90th anniversary of the Sexual Education Resource Centre and how it has changed over the years and what we are seeing currently in Canada, as well as relevance across the world, even if it isn't exactly the same what is going on in regard to two-spirit LGBTQIA plus advocacy and rights and the need for a comprehensive sexual health education.
Moving on, we're heading into the rest of the audios will be from this month. So on April 8th, there was a women's lacrosse Six Nations audio published by Andrew Dow of CJKS in Oswecan in Ontario. And they are talking about the 14 members of the 2024 Haudenosaunee National Women's Box Lacrosse Team were recognized with a leadership award from the Six Nations Elected Council. They were all from the Six Nations and involved with the team both as players and coaches. And it is because last September, the Haudenosaunee Nationals made history on the women's side with a 21-4 win over Australia in the Women's Box Lacrosse World Champions. And this was the first ever medal performance for them in either field or box lacrosse formats. And the Andrew has a chat with one of the team members who is being recognized with the award, and they're sharing the experience with their teammates and families and friends, which is very, very cool. I have to say, we were talking about lacrosse in the station yesterday because I went and watched my first lacrosse game at the weekend, and it was very interesting. I didn't realize there were two different formats of lacrosse, one being box lacrosse and one being field lacrosse. I watched a box lacrosse match, and I'm surprised at how violent it is, I will say. I thought there would be more rules on the contact in it. So I watched a male lacrosse game, so I'd be interested to watch the female one and see how it's different, because I thought it was quite violent, and that's coming from someone who has watched rugby in England. But yeah, this is a very cool and interesting piece, so I hope you guys all enjoy it.
Last month, the team members from Six Nations of the bronze medal winning Haudenosaunee Nationals women's box lacrosse team were recognized by Six Nations Elected Council with leadership awards for their efforts. Last September, the women's Haudenosaunee Nationals competed in the inaugural Women's World Box Lacrosse Championships in New York and were able to make history, as their bronze medal win was also the Haudenosaunee women's first medal in a world championship for either box or field lacrosse. Carrie Lee Weiss, one of the 14 individuals recognized, hailing from Six Nations, was also recognized by Council for her induction into the 2025 class of the North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame. She spoke on what this recognition and leadership award means to her and being able to share the experience with her teammates.
The feelings I had felt when I was being recognized by Council alongside my teammates were Agatsunoni. Agatsunoni means happy. I was very happy. Because as I was standing up there while each of my teammates' names were being called to receive their award, I was reminiscing in my head of our journey together, thinking how excited we were when they announced that the World Championships were really actually going to happen, to having shared tryout experiences together where we would carpool together, room together, spend downtime together, where we would laugh, cry, and struggle. But, you know, the cool thing was is that we had, even though we had those emotions, we weren't alone. We each had each other to lift each other up in those moments. When everyone's names were being called, I was thinking back to the precious memories that I had made with all my teammates that were being called throughout the whole journey, and not just when we were at the World Championships. Another feeling that I had felt was such pride, making our people proud in a positive light. And because I was proud of each and every one of those women whose names were being recognized that day, because everyone sees the end goal. So everyone sees our bronze medal that we had won, but no one had seen what it took to get there. Every single person had their own obstacles to overcome, challenges to face, and sacrifices they had to make in order for that bronze medal to happen. When they were being called up, I was just so proud, because even when faced with adversity, they overcame it and didn't give up, which is another positive aspect of women being in sports for our Haudenosaunee people.
Weiss explained the work that was put in by all the team members and the way they were able to showcase their work as leaders.
Being a leader is doing the right thing for the team when it may not be the best thing for you as an individual. We weren't selfish players. We were for each other. We were for the people. Another thing we did was we showed up. We showed up for each other, even when it was hard. When no one was watching, even when we didn't feel like it, we still did. We still showed up for one another. Even when our worlds may have been crashing, we still showed up. another thing that I feel that myself and our teammates did was that we knew it was okay to fail. And a lot of us may be scared to fail. But with this, as leaders, we know that failure is a part of the game. It's a part of sport. It's how we get better. It's how we grow. And so this team, we learned quickly that it's okay to fail and let's just get back at it. And then I believe also, too, what made us leaders is that everyone whose name was recognized, I knew that each girl, each woman was obsessed. They were obsessed with getting better. They were obsessed with winning a medal. They were obsessed with wanting to be 1% better. For me, it was all I could think about. As soon as I was trying out for that team, as soon as I woke up, I was thinking, okay, what can I do right now? Can I be stretching? Can I be going to the gym at 6 a.m.? And most times we had tryouts and training at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day. Am I going to do two-a-days? This and that. I find if you're obsessed with your craft, no one can beat you. And then it was so cool to see all the women have that mentality.
She detailed what her advice would be to the younger generations of the community who may want to explore sports and being leaders within the community and where that pathway could take them.
I tell the young girls of Six Nations, ask yourself this one question. Put aside any doubt you may have and ask yourself, what if it could turn out better than you can imagine? Bet on yourself. The Creator wouldn't put anything on you that you couldn't handle. And where sport can take you, oh my goodness. I have been all over Turtle Island. I have traveled to endless places because of sports. I've been to Japan, South Africa, Amsterdam, Dominican, all over Canada and U.S., where I've competed against the best in the world, against legends, against Hall of Famers, Olympians. But sport not only took me places traveling-wise, but it also allowed me to be successful in the classroom because everything that I had learned through sport, I put that same effort towards school as it allowed me to receive an athletic scholarship to an Ivy League school. It allowed me to receive the best education that both the U.S. and Canada had to offer. It allowed me to secure a future for me and my family, and most importantly, it allowed me to be doing something that I'm very passionate about and live a very fulfilling life, such as becoming an elementary school teacher and teaching within our Six Nations schools today.
Vice also spoke on being inducted into the 2025 class for the North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame and what that recognition means to her.
I really thought about it. I just thought, I'm 32 years old, and I just said, holy man, like, I'm 32 years old and I'm still dreaming. So I just want, it makes me think that it's never too late to have a dream. It's never too late to keep dreaming. The mind is a powerful tool. It also makes me think of the word purpose being inducted. Thinking about my purpose, Aheo's purpose. My Indian name, it means she's arrived. It makes me think and reflect on my purpose. They say we are put onto Ohwenjadate, Mother Earth, with a purpose from Creator. And having been inducted into the Hall of Fame makes me feel honored because I hope this is what my purpose is. I want to show that I didn't take this gift for granted and that I wanted to utilize this gift in every aspect of my life that I could. Because every time I do something, every time I set my mind to something, every time I play, train, work out, teach, be a mother, I think of the Creator and I want to go hard for Him. I want to give Him my all because He gave me this gift. He gave me this body that has gone through so much and it still allows me to accomplish things. And most importantly, He gave me this life. This induction allows me to reflect on all the sacrifices I had to make over those years and seeing firsthand that those sacrifices paid off.
I'm Andrew Dow, and this news story is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, which supports the creation of original civic journalism.
So once again, that was Andrew Dow from CJKS in Oswecan in Ontario, talking about the Haudenosaunee National Women's Box Lacrosse Team, where they were recognized with a leadership award from the Six Nations Elected Council, with an interview with one of the team members receiving that award, Kelly Weiss, talking a bit about how she feels for the award with her teammates as well, and how she feels being inducted individually into the North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame and the importance of women in sport and the coverage for women in sport as well. Moving on to a different part of Canada. We're going to go to Montreal now, in Quebec, with the Flinter organizers cutting ties with Montreal Pride. So this was from April 10th of this year, and it was looking at how this year's Pride Festival would see fewer lesbian parties, as the femme, lesbian, inter, non-binary, transgender, and agenda nightlife collectives said they were cutting ties with Fiesta Montreal. So it's they are alleging that there was predatory behavior towards the Flinter community, which was including a breach of contracts with the festival. And so this is them talking about that and the festival management and their responsibilities. However, the festival management didn't respond to a request to speak for this story. But they did put out a statement online that calls the claims disinformation.
Montreal might see fewer sapphic parties at Pride this summer, as women and non-binary event organizers are cutting ties with the festival. On Friday, four nightlife collectives put in a joint statement on Instagram, alleging multiple breaches of contract from Fiesta and a record of unprofessional practices.
A contract is a contract. If you're hiring us to put on an event, what's in writing and what we've signed is the agreement that we've agreed upon.
This is Ray Resvick. They are part of the team at Elle Louis, who host events for Montreal's Flinta, that is the femme, lesbian, inter, non-binary, transgender, and agender community. Elle Louis has only been on the scene for a few years, so Resvick and their co-organizers were initially excited when they were asked to host an event for last year's Pride Festival. But Eloise Halliburton says the trouble started when they went to sign the contract.
At one point, we had negotiated a rate that was a percentage of gross sales as an administrative fee, and they sent the contract over saying with the wording of net, and the contract was in French. So we went back and said, well, no, that's not what we said. And they said, oh, no, it's the same thing, at which point we switched to French, and it was like, non, en fait, on parle français. It's not a language issue.
Flinta Collective's Blush and Sweet Like Honey say they were approached by Fiesta staff to collaborate on an event together for last summer's festival. But Blush organizer Avery Burroughs says she wouldn't work with Pride again, citing low budgets, high ticket prices, and a lack of follow-through from the festival.
They had offered us this copious marketing strategy. About a month and a half before the event, they come back to us.